Whether or not you're hearing with ears to hear, that's the choice we have to make. And as we start diving into these parables, we're going to start learning a lot of things about hearing. We're going to start learning a lot of things about sharing. Matter of fact, today and next week, we're really looking at growing in the gospel and proclaiming the gospel. In Sunday school today, you were studying about Zacchaeus with the young people, and how Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And with the adults, you were looking at the Great Commission and how Jesus is sending us out to make disciples of all nations with His authority, with His power, teaching, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that He has commanded us. And remember, He's with us always, even to the end of the age. And as we come to this section in Matthew, that's where we're going to sit down and focus. We're going to look today at the light of Christ and how that He is the light of the world, yet He has set us in this world as lights and how we're going to shine for Him. Next week, we're going to talk about how the kingdom of God and the word of God, when we share it, how it grows without us even knowing what is happening, that our responsibility is to cast a seed. And we're going to look at the kingdom as we begin to look at our part in casting the seed. So be in prayer as we continue to walk through this study together. John 8:12, you see on many pictures. You see, we have a rug tapestry that used to hang on our wall of John 8:12. And it says, "I am the light of the world," Jesus says. Whoever follows me will not walk in what? But will have the light of life. Okay, so Jesus says He is the light of the world. And as we walk in Him, we will walk in light and not darkness. In John 1, verses 4 and 5, He says, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." Christ has the life. Christ is the light shining to men. And He shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it, nor will it ever overcome it. Darkness can never overcome light. I mean, when's the last time you walked in the room and said, "Let's see if darkness can take over the light"? Is there a switch for darkness? The only way darkness comes when you turn off the what? The light. So apart from Christ, the world is dark, but in Christ, there's light. And as we begin to look at how this applies to our life and how that we can allow the light of Christ to shine through us, hopefully our Father, through His Spirit, will stir our hearts and encourage us so that we would be all that He wants us to be. Because that's what happens on a Sunday morning. That's what happens every time you open up God's Word. He's equipping you. He's setting things that are out of order. He's encouraging that which is growing faint. God is speaking words of life into us through His Word. So God, may you be magnified this morning. The first thing that we're going to see as we look at how we can shine Jesus shine is the first thing that I want us to see is that we are to learn the truth of God's Word. Who is the light? Christ is the light. All right? We just read in John where He says that and in Him was life, and life was the light of men, and the darkness couldn't overcome it. Well, back before that, He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And there wasn't anything that was made in this world. Nothing was made without Him." So what we see in this picture is that Jesus, the Son of God, God Himself, living in human flesh, was the light of God shining to a dark and lost world. Now, through a relationship with Christ, as we commune with Him, then His light now shines through us. He is the light source. So how in the world are we supposed to shine for Him? First of all, we've got to learn about Him. If we're going to shine in this world, we have to learn about Him. Listen to what John's Gospel tells us in John chapter 3. "And this is the judgment. Light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil." All right, so light has come, and what does light do? It reveals sin. It reveals how you look. All right, you go in front of the mirror. You turn on the light. If you've been living in darkness, what's it going to show? I mean, what did it show this morning when you were sitting in darkness sleeping last night? You got up this morning, you went, "I'm still good looking. Or you looked at it and said, oh, and then jumped in the shower and woke up where you'd have a little better attitude, right? The light reveals what has been hidden in the darkness. And what Jesus says is that this is the judgment. When I have come with my light and I'm shining truth into people's lives, it reveals sin. It reveals that which is out of order for me. It makes men and women uncomfortable. It makes people get sick at the pit of their stomach because they realize, man, there's something wrong with my life, and what they're talking about is dealing with me. And what he says is, for everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his work should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen, and his works have been carried out in God. Now this is what he's trying to say. If we want to be a light for Christ, then we have to learn the truth about God. The truth about Christ. And when we learn the truth about Christ, as we read the Word of God, it begins to show things that are out of order in our lives. And when it begins to show that, our first reaction is to run. We don't like that. We don't like to be told there's something wrong with you. We like to think that we're perfect in every way. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way, right? And see, all the kids don't get this. Only the adults who remember Mac Davis, which he was singing when I was a little kid, okay? So we don't like to be told that we're wrong, and a lot of times when we hear something from God's Word that makes us feel uncomfortable, we run. All right? But whenever we hear and we receive what God is saying, and we agree with what He is saying, we repent of our sins, and we accept the truth that is there, you know what happens? Light begins to shine through us. Because now we're connected to the light. I could take one of those. You ever seen the old work lanterns that you can hang on your car when you're working on a car? And it's the old light. You can turn as bright as anything, but you hang it up on your hood while you're working on your engine. And you could take that light, and man, I could bring one in here, and I could just plug it, and I could just sit there and keep hitting on and off, and you know what? Nothing's happening. It's almost like if I'm sitting here, and I think, man, this is a light, right? Everybody knows this is a light. Don't you know this is a light? And that's a hot light bulb in there too. Watch this. I'm going to turn it on. You ready? What'd you jump back for? Man, there's something wrong with this light. It doesn't work. Shine, Jesus, shine. Oh, that isn't a megaphone. It's not working, is it? Why isn't it working? I mean, it's a light, right? You got to plug it into the power source. And once you plug it into the power source, unless I blew a bulb out of this light, look, we have light. And the thing is, the only way that we have light in Christ is when we stay plugged into Him. That's the only way. Because apart from Him, we are nothing. And so He reveals sin through His truth. As a matter of fact, when you're studying God's Word, you're into your light source. Listen to what the psalmist writes. In Psalms 119, verse 105, your Word is a lamp to my feet and a lamp to my path. So what is he saying that God's Word is going to do in your life personally? It's a lamp to your feet. Why do you need a lamp at your feet? So you can see where to go, right? So that you have clarity in your walk, in your life. You have wisdom to know what direction you should take, what job you're going to take, whom you're going to marry, what school you're going to attend, praying for your children, how to direct them. God's will is found in His truth. As we begin to open up His Word, His Word becomes a lamp to our feet and a light to our path so that we can see how to follow Him. It's God's Word that keeps us connected with Him. Listen to what the writer of Proverbs says. 6:23, for the commandments, your commandments, the Word of God, is a lamp and the teaching a light. So what we understand is that if we want to shine for Christ, then we have to keep continually learning about Christ, because then we're staying connected to His light source. How are you doing in that? I mean, is it kind of hard to shine throughout the whole week if you only open up your Bible on Sunday morning? Now, let's just be honest with one another. Very difficult. As a matter of fact, usually about Wednesday, we're becoming cantankerous. We become selfish. Sometimes we even become mean-spirited. And we don't think anything different because we're like that every week. But it's the Word of God that brings us back into relation with Him so that His light may shine through us. Here's a no-brainer. Did you know that God wants to shine through you 24/7? He wants you to be a night light while you're sleeping so that His love and His light are shining through you. And you say, man, that's kind of crazy. No, it's real because He wants to be a part of your life 24/7. He wants you to obey Him, submit to Him, and follow Him 24/7. And the only way we can stay hooked up with Him is as we begin with the Word of God. I mean, how's your quiet time? That's why I'm stressing about us encouraging one another to read through the Bible. I mean, how awesome is it if you had someone else in your life that would be willing to sit down with you, whether it was one, whether it was three, four other people, to say, how was the reading this week? What did you learn? Are there any questions? What did God speak to you? How can we pray for one another? Now you have someone holding you accountable that you can read God's Word and allow it to be a part of your life. How are we going to grow in the light unless we learn of the light? So church, how's your quiet time? Don't expect God to reach down and do great things through you if you're not seeking Him on a daily basis. Seek Him through His Word. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to sit down and begin to read, does it? Seek the light. Learn about the light. Now, I want you to notice the second, because this follows. I mean, you just can't learn all you want to about Christ. You got to put it into practice. So, the next thing that you'll see, you got to live out what you're learning. If light is going to shine through your life, if light is going to emanate through your life, then you've got to put into practice what you are learning. In other words, you have to be obey. Isn't that a simple word? Let's just say that together. Obey. Come on, some of you aren't saying it. Obey. Isn't that a simple thing? So what you are learning, if you put it into practice, that's obedience. Now, an amazing thing happens whenever you begin to read God's Word. He begins to point out things that are truth, and some of it, man, your life is right in agreement with it. But in other places, your life is not in agreement with it. Maybe he starts talking about anger or jealousy, or maybe he starts talking about lying, or maybe he starts talking about something in the Scriptures and selfishness and pride, and then you're under conviction. And so what happens is, as you read that, you have to obey the truth that you read. And obedience says that you repent. You say, you know what? I was wrong. I was pride. That's pride. That's arrogance. I lied, God. I'm not walking in truth, God. I'm jealous of this person, and I know I shouldn't, and I'm acting in a way that is angry and bitter. Or you see what I'm saying is God begins to reveal maybe even a vengeful spirit toward someone or an unforgiving spirit where bitterness is starting to rise up. If you will confess that and let that go, what happens is you're walking by faith and God's light begins to shine and radiate through you. It does so through the obedience. Through the obedience as you obey God's Word. Listen to what Paul wrote. What Paul wrote in the book of Titus, chapter 1, verse 1. He says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect, now watch this, and their knowledge of the truth. Now the word knowledge there, keep that verse up there, Rick. The word knowledge there means not just head knowledge or not just knowing. It means that knowledge which is gained through application of it. It's gained through doing it. All right, so if I sat up here and I said, all right, I'm going to tell you how to shoot a bow. I had some arrows over here. Maybe I better use the sticker cup ones and we can shoot Paisley right there in the forehead. We'll just shoot at her, okay? But if I took the arrows and I had the bows and arrows and I said, you know what, and you're watching, I say, this is an arrow. Oh, yeah. This is the pointy end. This is the safe end. The back end has a groove in it. There are feathers on it. I'm explaining it. You're going, oh, yeah, cool. And then this is the bow and this is the string. And you put the arrow right here and make sure the feathers are not one poking out this way so that when it'll hit the string, make sure that it's opened up with the V like that. All right, you got that part. And I said, you take two fingers. Some people use three. Some people even have a squeezing handle. And you pull it back right here to your chin. Keep your arms straight. See your target. Let your fingers go. Oh, yeah, man, I could shoot a bow. I could shoot a bow, hit it in target every time, right? How are you going to know how to shoot a bow? Just by reading all the books and watching a demonstration and hearing somebody tell you how to do it? How are you going to know how to shoot a bow? You're going to have to get a bow and arrow and begin to shoot it, right? You could sit there and tell me you know everything about a baseball swing. You know how the mechanics and everything that a professional baseball player is supposed to do. You could tell me that you've watched every picture, you've studied every tactic, you've read every book on pitching, and that you know everything that a pitcher should do. But the only way you're going to become an expert in it is when you begin to actually do it. You're not a great hitter if you know everything about hitting until you hit the ball. You're not a great pitcher until you begin to pitch the ball. That is knowledge that we're talking about in this passage. And he says this knowledge, whenever it's worked out in our lives, it produces. He says it's in accord. The result of your life is godliness. Godliness. So it's an amazing thing. As we hook into God's Word, He speaks to us. He challenges us. Do you know why God, you know why Satan doesn't want you to stay in His Word? Do you know why you feel guilty? Do you know why that it's hard for you to get up in the morning and read the Bible? It's hard for you to read at night before you go to bed. You always end up going to sleep, although you can watch some movie before you go to bed, and you're wide awake all the way through the end of the movie. But you open up God's Word, and you go right to sleep. And you think, why? Do you think it's something ordinary? Do you think it's just because you're flesh and blood? Or is it because Satan is doing something to keep you from the truth? Because the truth transforms. The truth manifests itself through your life so that the light and life of Christ comes through you. And he's not saying, listen, you need to just get up and you need to do this. No, he says, just read and obey. Read and obey. Read and obey. And you know what happens? You're growing in godliness. The more you read, the more you obey, the more light that's emanating through you, the more people that are seeing Jesus. Sometimes I think in the church, we don't set the light on a top lamppost. We don't set the lamp on the wall in its place. We put it under a bushel. We're scared people will see it. And what Jesus is going to teach us, you can't hide the light. The very light of Christ is going to shine. The only way you hide it is when you're not connected. And then no light is shining through your life. You're a dud. You're dull. You're in darkness. So as we are connected to Him, we are shining brightly for Him as we're obeying Him. Chuck Swindoll, he encouraged us in his commentary on Titus. He said, you know what? Really, people have never really learned until it makes a difference in their life. In other words, their pattern of living has changed because of something they have learned from God's Word. And that's what God's Word does in your life. It changes our patterns of living. But you know what else he says? He says, not only through our obedience, but also through our good works. So what Matthew chapter 5, verses 14, 15, and we'll get to 16. You are the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Now Jesus comes back and he says, now you are the light of the world. That light is shining Christ so that everyone may see. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. You can see it for miles. Miles, especially in the darkness. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand so that it gives light to everyone in the house. Christ has come so that everyone may see. Now, look at verse 16. In the same way, putting a lamp on a post, raising a lamp up so that all may see, in the same way, let your light and my light shine before others. So that they may see your what? All right. So now we know something. The light is emanating good works. And give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So the good works are coming from God. Remember we've read it several times, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, how we are God's workmanship in Christ Jesus, created to do good works. In the book of Titus, several times we were told how that it's our purpose that Paul was to remind them, to tell Titus to remind them that they would be careful to be devoted to good works. God has ordained them before the world was even formed. He ordained those good works for us. So what are those good works? Man, it's loving everyone that you're living your life in with. I mean, how simple is it? Jesus said, giving a cup of cold water in my name to one of these children is a good work. And he'll give an award for it. Don't try to sit there and say that good works have to be so big and so beyond me, I can't do that. Can you open a door for someone? Can you knock on the door and take someone a meal who's been sick? If you have a lawnmower, can you go cut somebody's yard because it's getting tall because they've been sick and they've not been able to do it? Can you listen to someone talk to you about their problems even though inside you're thinking they always have problems? But in the name of Jesus, love them, listen to them, and then pray for them? These are good works. Aren't they simple works? Showing up daily on time to your work and honoring your boss, that's a good work. You know what it does? It shows that Christians are hard workers. Christians are dedicated. Christians are trustworthy. Christians display the light and love of God. Honoring your boss at work, your teacher at school, you're shining the light of Christ by doing good works. Do you get the picture? And the good works flow as we're obeying Jesus, as we're walking in His love. It doesn't take a rocket science, church. It doesn't. It just takes simple learning of God's Word, obeying God's Word, and letting His light and love emanate through us. That's the lamp. That's shining His light. And he's not put us in a basket. He's not hidden us away from the world. He's put us slap dab in the middle of a dark and nasty world. Philippians 2:15 says it clearly. 2:15 says it clearly. That you may be blameless and innocent, holy and pure. Do you see the indication? As we're walking with Him in obedience, as we're walking with Him in purity, we are holy before the world. Children of God without blemish, without spot, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. Is there any generation that's not twisted more than our generation now and what they've done with truth? You know what? It was the same back then. Paul, God told us, you're in the middle of this now. We're in the middle of this now. And God has placed us there just for that moment. Just for that moment. Why? Because we shine as lights in the world. People can look at our lives and they see Jesus. And see, God has told us that we're to learn of God's Word. We're to live out what we learn. But then third, we're to teach His Word. The way the light of Christ was shining through Jesus was not just through His works of healing. It was through His words of teaching. The light was shining brightly as He spoke the Word of God to those who were on the hillsides. As He taught His disciples in the home or on the way, as he taught to passerbys that he'd come into contact with, as he would talk to Nicodemus who would come to him in the middle of the night. He would teach him God's word. He would teach him the truth. And what he is telling us, as he was shining that light through his teaching, so we have been called to shine his light through teaching his word. Now, he gives us a short illustration. And I want you to look at that in chapter 4, in verse 22. He says, nothing is hidden except to be made manifest. So nothing is concealed except to be made open, available, seeable, visible. Nor is anything secret hidden, kept from people to have knowledge, except to come to light. So you know what he said? He said, there is nothing in the gospel that I'm holding back from people. What he was coming to do, what he was coming to reveal, was a mystery. You say, what was that? That God was going to combine all of humanity and save them under one person through Jesus Christ. That through his blood, he would take Jew and Gentile and make them one body before God. That's a mystery. And what he's telling them is that they really don't understand that now, but you're going to know this. And he's looking forward when the Spirit comes, he says, and you're going to go out and you're going to tell people about this mystery. Now, I want to show you something. Telling people about the gospel begins simply with teaching people what you're learning. You don't have to know eschatology. That's end time prophecies. You don't have to know how to explain predestination. You don't have to know all of these tough theological topics to teach the people. You know what you have to know? What are you learning from God? What are you learning in your daily quiet time? What is God teaching you? What has God taught you through a trial? What did God teach you about Himself as you were going through that darkness and going through that struggle in your faith? What did God show you when you were struggling with that temptation? What did you learn even though you failed in the temptation? What did you learn from your pastor as he was teaching the Word of God? What did you learn from other preachers on the radio? Take it to heart. Meditate on it. Think on it. Don't just let it come in one ear and out the other. The way that you hold on to it is you tell somebody else. We have been a generation who learn God's word and keep it in. We are so uncomfortable having to tell someone else what God has taught us, and it's a shame. Because if we're going to shine the light of God's word, then we need to boldly, lovingly sit down and tell people what God has taught you. And can I tell you something? If you're excited about it and they're not, it's okay. You just let your excitement bubble over and you tell them what you're learning. Matter of fact, your family will become a stronger family because you're teaching them what you're learning through God's word. You're showing them that a dad, it's important for them to hear from God, and that for a mom, it's important for them to hear from God, and that for a child, it's important for them to hear from God as they share what God has spoken to them and what God has revealed in their life. And as you teach this to one another, you know what you're doing? Light. Light. And you know what this light does? Man, God's word is like the hammer that breaks the hardest heart and shatters it before himself. God's word is the fire that sets aflame what is set before him and renders it humble and renders it broken before God. God's word is the two-edged sword that cuts asunder to the very, very thoughts and intents of the hearts of the people you're speaking to. And as you're teaching people what he has taught you, he is working in their lives. Dynamite power is going to work in their heart. And listen, it's not you that's doing it, it's God that's doing it. And the amazing thing is, you turn right around and the one you thought could never be saved finally comes before you and says, I want to trust in Jesus. Why? You're obeying God. You're learning of God. You're obeying what you're learning, and you're teaching others what he's teaching you, and you're shining light. And so as Peter said, be ready when people ask of you the reason for your hope. Be ready to give a defense for the hope that you have in Christ. People are going to say, I need to know something about this Christ. I want to know about Jesus. It's because your life is salty and your life is light. I want to close with this simple warning that we need to understand. And it's really, we say simple, but when you read it, you're going to start saying, whoa. Jesus says, pay attention to what you hear in verse 24. Luke would say it this way, pay attention to how you hear. So he's trying to get us to understand that we need to be careful in how we hear God's word and what we hear of God's word. Then, in other words, when he says pay attention, that's in your court and that's in my court. Only we can change the attitude toward God's word, right? Only we can change the way that we approach God's word. Only we can repent of hard-heartedness. Only we can come before God in humility and brokenness. Only we can come before God with a teachable spirit saying, teach me, Jesus. Teach me. Because he says in this passage, be careful how to what you hear, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and more will be added to you. So he comes back and he says, measure is the capacity for learning, okay? Your capacity for learning. And I'm going to give you an Anderson paraphrase of what he's saying in this. We've got to be careful how we're pursuing God's word, how we're learning from God's word, because the more that we're learning, the more that we're going to learn. The way we're diving into it, that's what we're going to receive from it. All right, it's like this. If I'm sitting out here and we're thinking, okay, we're going to have a duck race, and we got rubber, those little plastic ducks, and we put them all, we dug a little ditch, right? And we had this little ditch about that wide on for your duck, and I had one over here about this wide for my duck. And you came out here and you said, okay, I'm going to get it going. And you had this little bitty water hose. Man, you had that thing out there and you're like, all right, I'm ready. Let's go. I'm going to win this race because we're going to fill the trough with the water we put in. And that's going to determine the outcome of the race. And so I come back and Chad, he has this water hose, man, it's like that. It's a normal water hose, 5-inch water hose. He's out there and he's got a spray handle on the end, man. He's got his duck ready and he's got the spray handle. Says, I got him, boys. But you know what? Blake comes back and he's got a fireman's hose. And he sits down with it hooked into the wall over here to the corner. And he's got Jay and he's got John and he's got who else? Garrett's going to help him because they got to hold this water hose because when they turn on that water, man, it's going to shoot. All right, who's going to win the race when they turn on the water? Hands down, he's going to turn it on. It's going to hit the cars going across the walkway. You know why? Because they are putting more water into it. Who's going to come in second? Chad, why? He's putting more water into it. Who's going to come in last? I forgot who I said was doing the last one, but guess what? Me? That's me. I didn't put enough into it. And what he's saying is that when we sit down and we begin to seek truth from God's word, he's going to give you an appetite that'll only grow stronger. And you're going to learn and you're going to grow. And the measure that you put into it, the humility that you and desire for truth that you put into it, you're only going to reap more. Okay? And it's going to abound in your life. On the flip side of that, listen to what he said. For to the one who has, more will be given. And to the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Now that almost sounds like that God doesn't want anybody to know anything because he's just going to take everything away from them. But I'm going to try to help you to understand very clearly what he's saying. He's saying that whenever we are seeking him, that we're going to keep growing in that knowledge. But whenever we draw back from seeking truth, from learning truth, so that we may abide in the truth, and we just coast, we lose it. Even what we have is taken away. It's like this, and don't, best way I know how to explain this, let's say that we had two fields. Both had fertile soil. Both had fertile soil. There's nothing wrong with the soil. Both had water lines that went to both fields, and it had the exact scientifically given amount of fertilizer, the exact amount of water to be released, everything, insecticide, everything that the plants needed was going to come through this pipe. Okay? Water's coming. There's a drought. The fields are still looking nice. Why? It's got power. It's got water. It's got fertilizer. It's insecticide. Everything's coming. But let's say that one of the lines has a leak, a kink. Let's say it starts with a leak. Some of that field's not going to be getting water, is it? Let's say that that line is totally cut off. What's going to happen to the field? It's going to die, right? Because it has no power. It has no water. It has no nutrients. Bugs will come and eat it up. And so at first, you may be able to look at that in a drought and say, well, that still looks pretty good. It's starting to fade. This one over here looks really good. And this one looks, man, it still looks okay. And you think everything is okay. But see, there's a leak. And then the leak is growing stronger. Why? Because they're drawing away. And looking at it in our lives, what happens is we begin to pull back from Christ. We begin to pull back from learning of His Word. And what happens is we're growing colder and we're dying. Why? We've disconnected from Christ. Who is the light of the world? Christ. And just like this lamp, the only way that it's going to shine, it has to be plugged in. So we have to stay plugged into Christ. And we do that through learning of God's truth, through living out what we're learning, and teaching others to do the same. And then we say, may God grant the increase. Let me ask you a question, church. Where are you at in this process? Sometimes I think about good works, and I'll share this story because sometimes we just get so busy in life that we forget to look for those opportunities to love on others. There's a young executive full of himself and full of his money. He had a brand new Jaguar, black Jaguar, beautiful, shiny car. He had on his silk suit, dressed to the T's, riding down the road, and all of a sudden out of nowhere, a brick comes out and hits the side of the door. Brakes are slammed. He puts that Jag in reverse, barks the tires, comes back to where that brick was stolen, jumped out of there to run after the kid, but the kid wasn't running. Grabs that kid and throws him up against the car, and he's as mad as he can be, and he's shaking him and says, boy, don't you know you're going to pay a lot of money for that? Your parents are going to pay for that. And the kid just stopped, and he's in tears, and he's like, please, mister, my brother, he fell out of the wheelchair and he's hurt and I can't get him up. He's too big for me to get up. Please, mister, just help me. Executive let go of the guy, little kid, and walked around the corner and he saw his brother sitting over there off of his wheelchair. He was bleeding from marks where he was scratched on the concrete where he fell. And he walked over there and picked that little boy up and put him in the chair and he took out of his handkerchief and he wiped his forehead, and then he sent that little boy on his way, and they started wheeling down the road, going back to their mom. And He jumped in that Jaguar and he took off. His life was changed. 2 years later, you see that same Jaguar. You know what you see in that side, driver's side panel? A dent. And he chose to leave it there so that every time he jumped into that car, he would remember that there are people that need the loving touch of God all around me. Wow. Every day, you pass them by. Every day, shine, Jesus, shine. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your steadfast love. We thank you for your patience. We thank you for your mercy, your goodness, your extreme patience. We all struggle in this battle to stay in truth. I'm thankful of this one thing, that you who began a good work in me and in us will continue it until you're completed in us on the day of Christ Jesus. You will complete what you started. And I am thankful that you will not be satisfied with allowing us to being a flicker of a light when we must be shining brightly for your glory. Each of us have been given different gifts. In some people, they may seem to be shining brighter than others or affecting more lives than others, but each one of us has been called and appointed to a specific place in this world, in this community, to shine your light, your love, your truth, so that people may be saved. I pray, Father, you would awaken us to you, awaken in us a desire to seek after you, to long for truth, to obey truth, and to start something that brings honor and glory to your name through your word forever and ever and ever. Multiply your Son through us. As we stand to our feet and begin our time of prayer, you may say, Brother Philip, I know that I'm saved. I've just not sought Christ. If He's spoken to you, then repentance may sound so difficult, but voice it. Voice it to Him and ask Him to restore the joy of your salvation, the desire for truth, and begin anew. Begin anew. Start today. Don't wait till tomorrow morning. Start today just to read, just a little bit, to say, God, teach me. Take notes from this, from the message, right? Go back and read over the scriptures. Ask God to write upon your heart what you've learned this day. Maybe you're here and you'd say, Philip, I need to begin a relationship with Christ because I know of Him. I've never followed Him. It's where you are. May you cry out to Christ. May you ask Him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to come into your life and make you new. That He would live His life through you as you follow Him. And then would you let us know that we can teach you and encourage you and help you to know what's next. I'm going to ask you, if you're attending the Infuge this summer, that you come and kneel and begin to pray for those that you'll be ministering to. You pray for every person that is going. The other students that you'll see there. Ask God to prepare you and to use you. I ask you to join with them and pray for our students and adults who will be going to Barboursville, Kentucky. Pray that lives will be changed. Ask you to pray for Caleb and Jacob and myself as we'll be going to Zimbabwe for the 50 pastors and leaders who will be, we will teach that week in the church and the evangelism in the villages. Pray for safety as we travel and growth and wisdom and understanding of God's word for the boys as they will be teaching children and sharing their testimony and evangelizing among them. I pray for them.
You're the healer of the sick.